Welcome to Podcasting Smarter, the podcast for podcasters by podcasters. Podcasting Smarter is the official podcast from Podbean, featuring podcasting interviews, best practices, and helpful tips. We're here to give you the tools, resources, product updates, and news to help you get started podcasting and keep your podcast growing.
Welcome, everyone. We are so excited that you're joining us here today. My name is Norma Jean Belenke. I'm the head of events here at Podbean, and we've got a really special episode for you here today. We're here with the folks from Dear Alice, which is a podcast all about interior design, and you'd be thinking, that's a visual medium, right? Homes and how people decorate spaces. How does that translate into a podcast? But they've done it really well, and they've monetized in a really cool way, a couple of really cool creative ways, which we're going to get into, so stay tuned. Podcasting Smarter is brought to you by Podbean, and this event replay episode is brought to you by Podbean. We're a podcast hosting and monetizing platform and home to over 640,000 podcasts. And now we'll get started. Hi, everybody.
Hey. Hey.
So first off, welcome. You know, you guys are the Dear Alice podcast. And can you guys give us a brief overview of what your podcast is all about? Share a little bit about the podcast, and then we'll talk about what you guys have gotten out of it, format, marketing, and all of that as well.
Dear Alice is a lifestyle approach to interior design. So we really focus on the person, how they want to live, and create a lifestyle around that. It's not necessarily so much about like what's trending right now on HGTV or in the magazines. It's like, let's think about who you are as a person and give you our best design tips, tricks, things that are successful. We are interior designers full-time, creating dream houses, and we're just trying to teach the public any basic rules, ideas, things that are working, things that don't work anymore, what's on the clotting edge, what's on the cutting edge. What else would you add to that?
I think it's just giving people permission to figure out who they are first. And I think that that's what we do. We do share tips and just kind of the rules and things that have been successful. Since we've been doing this for like 15, 20 years now, we've done a lot of homes. And so we know we've had like great mistakes and bad mistakes. And so we try and share all of that with our listeners. And one thing I think that sets us apart is the fact that it's called Dear Alice is kind of mastered after the Dear Abby. Like it's a very listener involved community. And so we've really, really felt that. And we actually answer their questions on our podcast. So not only I think we get like super fans that way because they're waiting to hear the question that they've sent in. And then I think it just like springboards so many other questions from other listeners. So we really just try and like listen to their concerns, what on a normal level are people dealing with, and how can we help solve those problems knowing what we know in a luxury lifestyle brand. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And the next thing I was going to say was, you know, obviously nobody's name is Alice, right? No. On the podcast, right? It's Jess, it's Suze, it's you, it's Corey. So if you haven't listened to the podcast before, it does have that Dear Abby format of, you know, people writing in questions about interior design. And I think that's something where they don't have to necessarily have the budget or the project to hire Alice Lane Home Design, but they still can submit their questions and get expertise. And it really builds your community, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. But it's a really phenomenal podcast. And, you know, you guys talk about everything that runs the gamut in terms of interior design. So we're also going to talk about episode ideas and that kind of thing later. But in terms of the success of the podcast, because it has been really successful, what do you think are the key elements that have created that and have contributed to the success and the growth of the Dear Alice podcast?
That's a really good question. Right. I'm going to kind of go with what some of the comments have been, because we feel like maybe we're just sitting inside of an echo chamber and we know what we know, but it's fun to hear what people say to us. And I feel like they really love the Dear Alice podcast because there's not a lot of podcasts in our space of interior design. And those that are on it, I think the way that they talk to their audience isn't as candid or as open or fluid about mistakes that are being made. And this isn't a perfect industry. We're trying to do a beautiful job and people want to have these perfect lifestyles, but we know the nuts and bolts and the guts of the whole thing. So I think we're just talking to them like friends and we're saying, do this, don't do this. Oh, yeah. We tried this once. Here's what happened. We're just really giving them some working knowledge on what to do in their own homes and their projects, answering questions. Why do you guys think it's been successful? Why do people like Dear Alice? What's different about it? Have you guys listened to other interior design podcasts?
I've listened to a couple, and like, you kind of know immediately if it's going to be like one that you'll be interested in or not based off of just like how casual they are, how like honest that feels or how intimidating it is. And like, where in interior design, I think historically has been a very intimidating topic, you know, where like there's this prestige to it, when in reality, everyone has space, like has a home or is trying to at least reflect themselves within a space. And so I do think it's just like, by being honest, Jess, you kind of mentioned that, that we're just like talking to each other as friends in a room when we're recording, and with their questions, like we feel like we're talking to them, and based off of just like how they reached out to us and interacted with us or recognized us on the street, we really feel like they're friends, you know, when we see them live, and we want to answer their questions so that they can live more beautifully, making whatever decision it is they're making and whatever budget they're making. And so I really do think that that's been the reason why if I wasn't in that room recording, why I would still listen to it is because people are being really authentic and offering up information for me to benefit from and make better decisions when I'm trying to do my own space. So yeah, Corey, what do you think?
I would just say it's all of my favorite podcasts. I don't listen to another one that is about interior design because I work in it all day.
Right.
the personalities shine through in my favorite ones. And I think that's what, it's another thing that we do. We take design very seriously, but then we're loose like with each other because we're just, you know, we're friends. We've known each other for 10 plus years. And yeah, we're kind of just are who we are. And we don't, you know, we say some things that are a little bit unfiltered and we just let it go. And we just are who we are. And I think that gives people a good glimpse about like who we are outside of work. And that makes us relatable. I think that makes anybody relatable. If someone is just genuine, I'm with you. You know, that's something that's an attractive quality that people have.
I feel like taste too is one of those things. It's like this sort of ethereal cloud in the sky, and they don't know if they have it or they don't, and they don't want it insulted. And it's just like the one of the most personal things about a person is their taste. And we're talking about building interiors based on your taste, your lifestyle. And so I think as normal as we can make that, and as we can get them to extract who they are into their space, it can become less intimidating and they can feel really honored about whatever their taste is, right? So I think that we're not trying to be perfect. I think that's one of the things about interior design is like, you're trying to create this perfect space styled perfectly for this person that wants to be able to walk in the home and have all their friends be impressed. And we're not trying to be perfect. We're not teaching people how to be perfect. We're teaching them how to be them in their space. And I think that feels really good. And authentically, you feel like you can create a space around that instead of it being all about taste level and expensive things and things that people will adore because it's come from far and wide corners of the earth. And it's in the very most best, prestigious, highest level, top shelf, top brass kind of thing. And we kind of take all the air out of that helium balloon and we just try and deliver it straight to them. And so then they can do with it whatever they can on their own budget, with their means, with their resources, the people they know, the places they shop, and create something that's really individual and fantastic for them, wherever they're at, whatever level they're at. So I think we try and make it normal.
We do try and make it normal.
You know, that's something that's also a really big factor in podcasting as a whole. And we've heard this from podcasters, not specifically interior design, but within other industries that have a podcast or within other creators that are podcasting on different topics and niches. And it's that relatability. It's that authenticity of like, hey, we're all human. We're all going to be on this human journey together, you know, with design. And here's why we're doing this, but nobody's better than anybody else. And maybe we learn some things and we're doing this as a job and we've had careers, you know, for decades, but we're here to share that knowledge in a very inclusive and vulnerable way, right? And taking that expertise and really opening up, you know, about what that process is like versus I'm the expert in that kind of top down sound as well. So I think that that also really contributes to the reason why people want to listen to the show and what makes it so engaging and inclusive for everybody who is a listener as well. We're really thrilled to have Dear Alice hosted and monetized through Podbean. So what aspects of Podbean's strategy and approach have you found most effective in terms of the monetization for Dear Alice?
I would say we know interior design. We're not monetization experts. So it's been nice to be able to partner with Podbean, because then we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to know the numbers and, you know, do all of that legwork. It's been quote unquote, not worry about it very much and let the people who are good at it do it. you know, like, yeah, leave that to the professionals.
We employed a full-time person before we partnered with Podbean who would just work with different people on getting advertisements, getting the scripts, getting the contracts figured out. How much money is this for this? You know, is it a mid-roll? Is it a pre-roll? Is it a... And pretty soon we felt like we were being this little mini ad agency, plus we were also trying to do this work. And so you just have to have a big staff to be able to do this, but also they don't know how to best monetize or represent the podcast. And it's so much easier for us just to do what we're good at and leave the rest to you because you guys are good at it. And when you partner together in that way, then we can both be good at what we're good at and not have to worry about employing a whole nother person and trying to teach them what to do because what we know isn't what you guys know. So it just takes, I think, all the hassle out of it, makes it so much easier. You can concentrate on your sphere
right and now. Your content, really.
Yeah.
And what you we do best. Yeah. Is what we should do, and what you do best is what you should do.
Because
you know?
This is
we'll all help each other grow.
Yeah, and Dear Alice isn't our full-time job. Our full-time job is designing homes. And then secondly, we sit down, you know, once a week we do this, but we need to be able to monetize and make money in other places. And so it makes it so we can't do our real job and can't do our podcast if we're also trying to chase down ads. And we're like, we're not in business to do that. We're in business to design homes. So it's been a really nice partnership. We were able to free up a whole employee now that we don't need to do that. And she can focus on something different. And we're all doing what we're good at. So we really love the partnership with Podbean. It's been great.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is something that until you work with us, you don't know, right? We have a whole team that's really working on the advertising side. And you mentioned a couple of terms, mid-roll, pre-roll. I always like to break down terms for everybody out there, no matter, you know, how deep into podcasting you are. A pre-roll is an ad that's going to go at the beginning of your show. Mid-roll is going to cut in somewhere in the middle. Mm-hmm. And then post-roll is going to be at the end of the episode. And these ads are inserted through software that we have here at Podbean. And you can do it yourself. We can run it for you. You can even find the advertising yourself and use the software, or we can do it for you. We also have relationships with a lot of really big brands, right? So we can go out and work with brands that are going to buy the number of impressions, right? Maybe more downloads than any specific show, but it'll be across, you know, a bunch of Podbean shows that are monetizing based on demographic or something like that. So we have an amazing team. And so it's really great to hear that feedback as well. And you're right. You know, I think that we've talked to a lot of podcasters about this. You don't get into podcasting because you want to learn to sell ads. You get into podcasting because you love making your show, right? Because you love the content, you want to engage with the audience and you want to assist your brand and, you know, really into that branded marketing piece of Alice Lane Home Design and all of that as well. So that's just fantastic feedback to hear. And in terms of how the podcast has directly affected Alice Lane interior design, I'd love for you guys to speak about how the podcast has integrated into your overall marketing strategy, and then how you've utilized the podcast and leveraged maybe messaging and your audience for the business as well. Corey, do you want to start on that one?
Yeah, obviously we've been able to expand our reach. One of our first goals when we started the podcast was to establish ourselves as experts. And I think that's been a really big focus of ours. If I could say, like, I think we're doing that. Yeah, just kind of taking the knowledge that we have and openly sharing it with our listeners and being a good resource for our audience.
Yeah, I think besides trying to establish ourselves as an authoritative design voice, one other thing we've done is we've teamed up with our Instagram. And whenever we have a podcast come out, it's always on a Thursday. And that whole week, we tell the story visually because this isn't a visual medium. So we just barely had a podcast come out on the fifth wall, which is the ceiling of the home. And we showed all of our projects that had specialized ceilings that whole week during the podcast. So they could see visually what we're talking about. And then here comes Thursday and all we're talking about is ceilings. And they've been trained to look at ceilings all week. And then we really stick the landing on Thursday and then show more ceilings Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So we try and visually tell the story that whole week. And then the podcast comes out. And so we're able to support the podcast that way by also teaching people. And then also they want to tune into the podcast because they've been being schooled on this. They're like, you know what? I could do something with my ceiling. I should listen to that one. So that's another way we've sort of teamed up with our marketing department to expand reach, expand our ability to communicate visually as well as verbally what we're trying to teach. And I think people really, that clicks in when they're able to sync up the two different mediums between podcast and social. So that's been really helpful. And I don't know, you just never really know who your reach is. Sue and I go to market at High Point, and we get flooded now with interior designers that are like, we want to meet you. We love Dear Alice. And you're like, you hear us? You're
listening?
Like, you're a designer. We feel like just like people that don't know much about design would want to listen, but interior designers like to listen to it. And that's been really fun too, to expand the reach all the way. You know, we can compare notes, talk about different topics. Mm. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Just on top of that, really quickly, I was going to say that we've been surprised about how many professionals actually listen to us, mm-hmm. which like really like shows us that there's not a lot of people talking out loud mm-hmm. about like a lot of industries, right? And just being super candid about like, what are the flaws? How do we work? Nobody's like out there sharing like, how do you do business? Mm-hmm. Here's how we do business. And so it really is a way to just kind of just like open the books a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's also something where it adds credibility to each of you guys as designers, but it also adds credibility to Alice Lane Home Design. And Alice Lane Home Design has a lot of different things going on, right? Like, you guys also manufacture home goods as well. So how has the podcast really, you know, home goods, has it brought in business for design work and bids? Yeah. What has it brought in?
Yeah, no, it's a really good point. We have a whole bunch of different facets that, you know, we're able to monetize. And for the store, we have a free design service, which is we'll design and do any furnishings in a room and choreograph that whole look with designers. And then they sell them the whole room of furniture. We get more leads for that department through the podcast than any other thing that we're doing, which we're producing reels and lots of different videos showing the service on our Instagram all the time. For some reason, I feel like the podcast, you get people that are really in your funnel. They're in the middle of your funnel or at the bottom of your funnel. They're buying your products. They're obsessed with you. They love you.
They need help.
And they're like, oh, right. What? You have a free service? So like in the podcast at the beginning, we'll either talk about that free service mm-hmm. or we'll talk about our To the Trade program. And we don't have to pay for our ad because we're just talking about it socially. And then all of these leads come in. So it's these people that already trust you. And it's the best way to advertise is to people that are in your funnel. And we just find that the podcast is like the people that trust us and like us and respect us. And they show up first week after week. And then if we want to talk about any part of our business, they're like there for it, which is really exciting. We could even do a better job than we're doing. But mm-hmm. I will say, the leads come. I think the sales come as well. Mm-hmm. Whenever we send out an email about the podcast that week, we always send out an email and I think a text saying that this week's episode is about this. The open rate for that email is like 87%, which is unheard of.
That's so huge. Huge.
Rates are like 1%, 2%, and it's only 1% or 2% the whole week. And then the podcast email, 87%. Like people.
I knew that. That's
I know.
Amazing.
It's wild.
Amazing.
People all open it. They click on it to listen. They also purchase things off of that email. Like we'll have a few products that we're highlighting for the week. And so sales come in just because we're talking about the podcast. They're like, oh, it's podcast day. Yay. And then they get busy and here come the sales.
It's so, like a gift with purchase.
Totally. And they know we're not trying to sell them anything because it's not salesy. We're just saying, hey, that podcast is live. This is what it's about this week. Here's a few photos to illustrate what we're talking about.
Favorite things.
And yeah, it just works every time. It's amazing.
Yeah. And I think that branding piece also plays a really big part. You know, we hear from a lot of businesses on the branding side where podcasting isn't about direct sale. Podcast ads are, but podcasting in terms of your content, you're not going to hard push every week because it's relational, right? The people that buy one of the featured products, they're not listening every week for a new product. They're listening every week because they're part of your community and because they trust your brand and they trust the voices of your brand and the expertise, right? Behind Alice Lane Home Design and each one of you individually. But it's also where, because that, you know, direct push isn't there, there's no pressure. Mm-hmm. And so that branding becomes even stronger in terms of its impact directly on sales, or you said with some of the design services that you guys have as well. It may be something where, you know, they hear about the service where, you know, the design is free, but then you buy all the furniture in the room. They may hear about it 5 or 6 or 10 or 20 times. And then to pop up, you know, it'll pop up top of mind when they're ready for that kind of thing. So it's really about knowing that you'll be there and they can trust that you'll be there when the time is right for them, which I think is also a really important aspect as well. And for everybody out there who is a podcaster, for all of our podcasting community here at Podbean, what advice would you have for podcasters who are working with a brand or who are from a brand aiming to grow and monetize their shows?
Kind of comes back to the authenticity. Like, what do you have to speak about that like is true?
Yeah.
that people want to listen to. Because again, when we started this, like, we're like, whenever anybody would say, "I heard your podcast," we're like, "Thank you. You heard our podcast? Why? Pray tell." Like, but I think, like, genuinely, like, what would you want to hear? And so that's always what we're thinking about. Like, what are people asking, obviously, when they submit questions? But if you're just starting, like, what do you have to offer that's like gold that like people can't find anywhere else? What's your perspective and your point of view? Because that's what people want to hear from us. Because even all three of us have different points of view.
Yeah.
Within design, which I think it would be really boring if just one of us was just talking to a camera versus all three of us conversing. So I do think that's kind of like when you watch ESPN or you watch anything where there's several different people kind of battling it out. I think it's good to have different points of view. And so make sure that whatever you have to offer, whatever you want to podcast about, is something that is either like a niche or something that nobody's offering right now. Mm-hmm. You can't find it anywhere. So therefore you need to bring it to market.
Also, I feel like that's passion, right?
Yeah,
so you exactly. want people to be passionate about their topic. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you give them all this information for free. You're not going to go out of business. It just means that they're going to trust you to come to you and say, "I know you've talked about design for 4 years now. I'm sure everything I need to know is out there if I listen to all the Dear Alice episodes. I'm not going to do that. I still want to hire you." You know what I mean? So I feel like you should just, I think that just builds more trust when you teach people what you know. They still want you to do it. There's still going to be plenty of business for you. You give it all away for free on the podcast, leave nothing behind. I mean, as much as you can verbally, right? But I do think that that's, you give people's trust from that. And they really see you as an expert because of how thorough you are and how passionate you are about your topic. And it just makes them want to work with you. So it's great.
I think that monetizing your brand should not be top of mind when you're starting a podcast. If that is, that's going to come off in your episodes and it's going to turn people away. All three of us, our personalities, we're not salesy. When we do talk about our product or our services, you know, we try to make it a genuine thing and not be like, "You guys got to, you know, like it try to just
right.
be-
it's not a hard sell.
Stronger yeah, than anybody.
That's not us. That wasn't our goal in starting the podcast. I think those can be the fruits of your labor. And I think that's great, but it shouldn't be goal number one for sure.
Yeah, I don't even think Agreed. We talked about our services for like two years.
Mm-hmm. And then we're like, "I guess we could do that."
And then they were like, "You should." And then all these leads kept coming in. We're like, "Oh, we should probably tell them to follow us on Instagram." Mm-hmm. Like yeah. we didn't even think we're such bad business people that way. We didn't even think to talk about ourselves.
Yeah.
We just wanted to share what we could about interior design. And I think to that, our marketing team always says, nobody wants to be sold, but everybody wants to buy. Yeah, nobody ever wants to be sold on anything, but you tell them about this cool thing you're doing and they're like, "How do I find that thing?" And you're like, "Oh yeah, of course. Let us put that in the link in the email. We're going to be talking about the Luca cocktail table, how we made it, one of our products that we designed, and let's put a link to it so people can look at it. And if they want, they can buy it." And just because we're not selling anybody, people want to buy it. And there's just like a real truth of marketing right there. Just don't sell anybody anything. They're going to want to buy it if they're interested.
Yeah. And don't be gatekeepers either. I think that's also, I think something that's attributes to the success is that like, if you have something, say you found the best eye patch or the best product, you want to tell everybody about it. That's how we feel about what we know.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to tell everybody about it. And so, yeah, don't be a gatekeeper if you're starting out and trying to like hold your arm over what you know dearest, and you're not going to tell your audience that. Share what you can.
Yeah. Even if people say, "Sue, we want to know what color your red lip is," and it has nothing to do about interior design,
tell them.
Sue's is going to tell them what brands of lipstick she likes to use to get her red lip. Yeah. So we share.
Great.
It all.
I love that. And I think that that kind of adds to the overall trust and interaction that the audience is going to have with you. And I do kind of want to ask you, because a lot of companies and a lot of podcasters ask, you know, how long, you know, what is that timeline like? How long should I wait until I start, you know, mentioning products or mentioning what the company's doing? And so, Corey, I love what you said. Don't come out of the gate marketing. Like, that's not what this is. Branding is a real long game. So can you guys tell us a little bit about the evolution of, I think, Jess, you kind of had mentioned this a little bit, how, you know, you had started mentioning products and the sales were coming in, but what was the timeline and a bit on the evolution of that?
It was a couple of years, being honest. Even still to this day, if we're like, "Oh, we could like talk about the product in this way," we never do it from a sales. Like, we always try to relate it back to our topic. Like, and that's the reason we talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, marketing may be a secondary reason that we're not even shooting for. So we still do that. So yeah, and it was for sure at least 2 years before we were like talking about our services.
I don't know
stuff
that that's
that.
A best practice for all y'all, but I think
we're not gatekeepers, so we're going to say that louder.
Think about it, and we should have thought about it. I think somebody could do it. You know, once they establish that trust in who they are, I think they can start weaving things into the conversation, because naturally we're people. We want to know about other people. Like, why are they so knowledgeable about interior design? What are they doing when they're not podcasting? And so, of course, they'd want to know, we have a design firm. We have experience doing this. This is how we have the knowledge on these projects we're working on. You know, this is what we're learning. Here's one thing to avoid. So you kind of have to give them some background information to also establish trust. And I think you can learn how to weave in more of your story, or that these services are available, or we have room for a new project. You know, we've woven in something like that before, not to be salesy, just to make ourselves available to them, you know, in a really nice way in case they're interested. Because I know a lot of people are like, gosh, it takes years to get into you guys because these houses take years to do. And, you know, the wait list is probably so long. So we're like, hey, heads up, we have an opening right now. And so we can weave that into a conversation. And it's not salesy, it's just more informational. But you can find a way to do it authentically that won't turn people off. And I think you could start doing it pretty soon, right?
Within pretty early in your journey.
But within the first like few months. I think also just probably I'm not an expert, but if you have like a legitimate website or something that says, that also backs you up and says you're the expert. Like we have like projects that we've been doing for years, you know, that people, again, they can kind of fact check it and say, okay, they're legitimate. Yes. Oh, they have product too. I'm going to buy from them, or, you know, whatever phase of establishing their space they're at, we have a service for them that the podcast then turns back and helps all those other facets.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's important as well, to establish yourself as an expert. All three of you touched on this about how you want to inform, but you don't want to sell, right? It's something where you can say, hey, this is what we're up to. And maybe we have a spot in the books for a home design or for a service, a design service. And if you're interested, you can let us know. But, you know, we just wanted to keep you updated. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing is different than sign up now or you're going to miss out. And I think that that's a really important aspect as well, because the podcast isn't going to end next week. It's a continued relationship. And so as the audience continues to trust and listen to the podcast, they're going to continue that journey with you. It's not a one and done sale, right? It's not a, well, I guess I didn't buy the full design home remodel this week. I guess, you know, I'm never going to listen to the podcast again. That's not it. It's relational, and it's about building that trust. So I think that that's a really great point as well. Well, it's just been such a pleasure to speak to the three of you today. Corey, Jess, Suzanne, it's just been so great. Like I mentioned, we've got links to Dear Alice in the description of today's episode. Thank you all so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And thank you everyone for joining us with the Dear Alice Design Podcast on podcast growth and monetization with Corey Place, Jess Bennett, and Suzanne Hall, the creative forces behind Alice Lane Interior Design. To start your podcast today, head over to podbean.com. And if you have any questions, you can also email us always at podcastingsmarter@podbean.com. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for joining us for this replay of our live event episode. If you have any questions about podcasting and want to get in touch with the Podbean team, reach out to us at podcastingsmarter@podbean.com. Happy podcasting.